A book starts with a thought. You have something that the world needs and you've yet to find out there. You have a message that you need to share. You have an itch that has to get something out, that you found a solution to a problem that many people have. If you're like me, the kernel of an idea will pester you until you put your fingers on the keyboard and peck by peck, you allow the story to evolve. Writing a book is a beautiful way to craft a message. But how do you share it? Well, before you can market it, which just so happens to be my favorite part of the process, you have to publish it. In celebration of my fourth book's release, which comes out today, I'm excited to dig into some of my tried and true self-publishing musts. And today we are kicking off with how to ensure that the seed of an idea, a book idea, gets properly watered. Ready to dive in? Let's do this. Hey, I'm Stephanie Fager, and Empower is my middle name. Well, not really, but y'all, I think it should be. I believe that empowered people empower people, and I'm obsessed with empowering you, the nonfiction author, with impactful marketing strategies and tactics to help you take your important message and share it with those who desperately need it, want it, and here's the kicker, will buy it. I'm the owner and chief strategist of the Empower PR Group and the author of four books myself, including my newest that releases today, called Emergence: Living Lessons from the Soil. I've been called to merge my love for reading books, writing books, and marketing books to help nonfiction authors like you with laser-focused strategies and tactics to write books that sell, promote books to those who need and want them most, and build meaningful businesses from empowering messages. Please think of this podcast as your one-stop shop for marketing insights from an author who has been there, done that, and understands exactly where you are. In fact, in publishing this book, I absolutely, absolutely understand. So get your pens ready, because I'm ready to empower you. This is the Empowered Author Podcast. Well, author friends, today is a big day over here. First of all, it's my birthday, and there's no better way to celebrate it, I don't think, than to publish a book. And I'm doing that today. So several years ago, my husband had a vision. I'll never forget. He was sitting on the floor. We were watching a TV show, and the TV show just turned off, and he looked at me and said, I know something you're supposed to do. There's a book that you need to write. And he was right. One day I would write it. For years, I actually toyed with the idea. I even drafted about 17,000 words of a manuscript, but my energy became focused elsewhere because, oh, I don't know, a pandemic happened. Life changed. My kids were here with me 24/7 as we were homeschooling. That limited time that I had to be creative was even more limited. So I had to prioritize differently. However, here's the cool thing about a seed of an idea. When it is aligned appropriately, it is patient and it waits and it doesn't stop. And so the seed of an idea for the book that would actually align with my passion for gardening and my purpose for perspective never left. The conditions, I realize now, just weren't right yet. Yet is the key word. Today, however, I am excited to share that when a book is ready, it will come, whether you are ready for it to or not. My newest book, Emergence: Living Lessons from the Soil, was planted in me over 30 years ago. There was a seed that was planted then that laid dormant for decades, collecting memories and being shaped by my own personal perspective. It actually had more patience than I do on a given day because it knew its own timing. And we don't always know that. But seeds that are meant to grow will, and stories that are meant to be shared will too. I wanted to give you a taste of my newest memoir, and I wanted to do it by sharing with you the book's description, and I would see it as a way for it to ground our discussion today, but not just in the book's topic, but actually the framework for this entire season of the Empowered Author Podcast. Here's the description. Life offers endless teachers. Some are meant to plant seeds of opportunities, while others are called to till the soil in preparation for sowing. Many create conditions for growth, and a select few become trusted advisors to prune our paths. There are people who nourish our growth and others who support in the reaping of the harvest. Everything in life is for a season and with a reason. For Stephanie Fegger, one of life's greatest teachers is the soil. Stephanie learned the value of sweat equity on her grandparents' farm as her family lived off and learned from the land. Her other grandma, who had more plants than apartment space, taught her the importance of patience, resilience, and the interconnectedness of all living things. At a young age, she unearthed the living lessons of the land. And with dirt under her nails, Stephanie continues to learn from her vegetable garden, houseplants, and farm what it takes to cultivate a fulfilling life. Emergence, Living Lessons from the Soil, provides a treasure trove of inspiration and guidance for those seeking to find beauty in the mess, power in the mundane, and meaning in the drought. Like we would a garden, we must nurture ourselves too. Let me take that a step further for us today. Like we would a garden, our book requires the same nurturing. In celebration of this milestone accomplishment, I wanted to mirror this season's podcast topics around the six parts that are found in my newest book, which happens to follow the trajectory of a plant's growth. So the six parts include the following: the seed, the roots, the breakthrough, the growth, the bloom, and the pollination. We will use these six parts as our guide to uncover self-publishing musts that I am reminded of every time I publish a book too. So in episode 3.6 of the Empowered Author Podcast, I actually walk through the pros and cons of all publishing options that exist. Now, I always tell authors this, that every publishing option is bad. Not a single one is perfect. Some of them are great, right? They're all great and they're all not so great. And like everything in life, everything has flaws, right? The best publishing solution is the right one for you that meets your needs. While my first book was hybrid publish, I've actually opted to self-publish all my subsequent ones. And as you explore what the publishing approach makes sense for you and the one you could or should take, if self-publishing is on the list, I'm really excited to use this season to share some of the ins and outs of self-publishing to help you publish a book you're proud of and one people will buy. So without further ado, let's consider how the seed of an idea becomes something you can tangibly hold. Part one of Emergence is called The Seed. For context, I wanted to read with you the content that really aligns with this part of the book. Here goes. It all starts with a seed, a thought, a dream, a plan, a passion, a life. While your calling isn't written on your birth certificate, you were born with a purpose meant to guide your life's path. You have seeds within you, likely several, that when the conditions are right, can take root and help you bloom into who you are destined to be. The question isn't if a seed exists, but if you've discovered it yet. Unearthing your purpose isn't always easy to do, but like a seed, it starts somewhere purposeful and many times starts small. I once read a beautiful analogy from another author. He noted that a seed as small as a freckle has the power to push against the weight of the soil to fulfill its purpose. Now, listen, I am someone covered in freckles, and all of my kids are too. So that analogy left me with this beautiful encouragement, knowing that if a tiny seed can accomplish its purpose, so can I, and so can you. It's likely you've already found one of your seeds, one that is eager to be written down and published. But in finding that seed, you've likely uncovered some questions. Well, how do I turn my book idea into a reality? What type of publishing should I utilize? What are the steps involved to bring a book to life? And if you've decided that self-publishing is a route that you might want to take, they might have more questions that have popped up, such as, how much does it cost to self-publish? What formats should I publish my book in? How do I design a cover, find an editor, upload it to print? Where do I start? Well, I'd like to share three self-publishing considerations for you when contemplating how to ensure your seed of an idea gets the focus, quality, and care that it deserves. Why I love self-publishing. So first, let's explore if self-publishing is the best approach for you. I tell authors regularly that unfortunately, publishing isn't like those stretchy yoga pants. It isn't a one-size-fits-all journey. I actually want you to consider lots of things when you're selecting the type of publishing approach that works for you. Time and energy, for instance, when it comes to your resources, you know, financial and additional goals as you're thinking about what success measurements look like, those go into account before you can select which publishing approach makes the most sense. So I realized after an author began looking for a hybrid publisher after completing a program that we did together, that actually led her to think that that was my recommendation. And let's be honest, I only have a recommendation that's unique to each person, but I also realized that she didn't realize how much I loved self-publishing. In fact, I'm a self-published gal all the way now. I have used hybrid publishing and know many amazing hybrid publishers, but nowadays, I like to stick to self-publishing, and here is why. Let me give you a couple of examples. I'm a control freak, friends. I am a control freak. I like having control over any and everything that I can, including my content, my design and layout, presentation of my book. I like having specific control over the timing of my book's release, who is a part of this publishing team, and I love having ownership of all of my intellectual property. Also, I am what is called a quick start over here in the Colby A assessment, which means that for me, waiting is like a long, slow death in my world. I don't want to wait. I want to run. If I have an idea, I want to make it happen and pronto. I don't want to wait for other people in the process. So self-publishing allows me a faster time to market journey. I also like the flexibility to print it how I want it and choose where I want to sell it. I like being able to get author copies whenever I want and see how many books are sold in lifetime. And while some people enjoy higher royalties that self-publishing brings, I like that too, but I'm really more drawn to the freedom that self-publishing offers. Self-publishing, when done right, can be a beautiful experience. However, if you aren't quite sure how to navigate it, it can actually be more costly to your reputation, credibility, and that seed of an idea, yeah, that message and its opportunity for growth could be impacted if you don't know what you're doing. If you aren't sure how to navigate self-publishing, it can actually be like dancing among landmines. So one false step could actually create a domino effect of oopsies. So control is really great until you don't have a clue how to write a book people will sell, how to lay out a book that people will buy and enjoy reading, or how to visually design an experience that they will follow through with purchasing. Owning your own intellectual property is amazing when your IP is given the chance to be front and center and seen through the adequate lens that marketing efforts can offer. And fast timing is really great, but you still need to build out a plan to ensure the quality of your book isn't sacrificed in the process. Having flexibility, which is my favorite, and how you sell your book is a benefit when you know where to sell it to and how the publishing distribution industry works. And extra royalties are awesome when you're actually selling books and getting them. I bring all these cautious cons to the table because self-publishing is amazing when you know what you're doing. But if it is a new space for you, you might be caught off guard. So let me share some of my self-publishing non-negotiable tips. I realize it is your message, and self-publishing allows you to make your own rules. But just because you like a color, a font, a layout, a design element, just because you cuss like a sailor in real life and feel confident in your story's intricacies and that they are pivotal, just because you have the seed of an idea doesn't mean that the readers will water it for you. So I have seen some really amazing messages fall short because an author attempted to navigate uncharted territory alone without asking for help along the way. I don't quite understand why we don't ask for help. That's just a sidebar. Everybody needs help. If this is not something that you have done before, how can you be expected to know it? And the answer is you can't. The problem is, too, that sometimes we don't want to ask for help, so we dabble in it, and it's more costly to fix the mistakes. I've been on the backside of helping many self-published authors dig themselves out of these oopsies. I really don't want that for you. So while preparing for my latest book for publishing, I was reminded of some of the non-negotiables that really elevates self-published books, and I wanted to take a moment and share them with you. First of all, you need to write a manuscript for your reader, not for you. So your book may have your story in it, yes, but to sell it, the reader needs to fall into this story too. They need to see themselves in the manuscript. If you want to go back to season 3 of the podcast, I talk about the difference between what I call draft 1 and draft 2. Yes, there's probably many different drafts that every book's iteration goes through, but for clarity's sake, I talk about draft 1 being a book that you write for you. And draft 2 is when you take draft 1 and you go, this was great. Now I'm going to make sure this book is drafted and written for the reader. I want you to be sure that you write and publish draft 2 if you want to sell books. So here's some examples I want you to consider. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just because you do doesn't mean you can either. So what I mean by this is your book doesn't have to be a direct reflection of the you that someone will meet outside of the book. For instance, just because you're comfortable with F-bombs doesn't mean your readers will be. In fact, it could turn people away and it could actually limit your book's reach. Just because you have experienced deep trauma doesn't mean your reader signs up to carry that weight alongside you. Now, I'm not saying your message isn't important. I'm just saying take your experience and put it through the lens and a filter to see what is really important for the reader. What will they get out of it? Just because you believe everyone needs to know every nook and cranny of your story doesn't mean the reader will actually stick around to read every nook and cranny. So I want you to think like your reader from the beginning and ensure that the book you write is one that they will buy and they will read. I also want you to do your research. Know what your competition is. What does their book covers look like? How are they describing their books? What categories are they in? Competition actually offers a guide for you on what's working and what isn't. I like to see it as like a litmus test of what is good, what can help you stick out, what is not working, because I want you to know how to be you and stick out while fitting into the same space that your readers are looking. There is enough room for all of us too. So don't feel like competition is something that is a negative. It actually, there's enough readers for all of us. It's actually a good thing. And also know your reader inside and out. Who wants your message and who will invest in it? Another tip I want to share is make sure you buy your own ISBN. So this, what I'm talking about here is the barcode on the back of your book. One too many times people come to me and they have not purchased their own ISBN and they're looking for different ways for distribution. And while this is a divided topic, I have seen time and time again that if you use Amazon's free ISBN, keep in mind that free doesn't mean flexibility. You're actually limiting yourself. Don't do that. Invest in your own ISBN. You will thank me later. We will talk more about this topic in later episodes of the season 2. And speaking of investing, this is a biggie. You want to also invest in some help. Let me take that one a bit deeper. How much should I invest? Well, this is a question I get asked often as it pertains specifically to marketing, but also as it pertains to self-publishing. And oddly enough, when it comes to publishing a book, people tend to think that they can do it all alone and they don't need to invest anything. Well, let me tell you this. So if I run a book marketing business and know the ins and outs of self-publishing and I am over here investing in help, I suspect you would benefit from it too. There are a lot of things that I could do, but that doesn't mean that I should do them. For instance, our tub recently leaked. That was not fun, friends, because I like taking a bath every night and I couldn't for a bit. But I could have torn down the drywall to expose the leak myself and try to fix it myself, but not only would it not have worked because I don't know how to do that, but it would also have been more costly because I likely would have taken out too much drywall. Or when my first book released back in 2018, I spent 3 months every stinking day of 3 months working on developing my own website, only to have it all break a few days later. It turned into code. It was not good. I learned the ins and outs of website design, yes, and then I made a pact with myself that I would never do it alone again. Now I have an amazing team member who collaborates with me to bring author websites to life. So just because you can doesn't mean you should. And when it comes to self-publishing, here are some important elements I think every author should be investing in. Editing. I write books for a living, friends. I write and edit copy too. And yet inevitably I miss my typos all the time in my own writing because I don't see them. We read what we write and fill in the gaps because we know what we want the message to be. We can't see our own typos, our own glaring mistakes. When we read past these because we know what we want to see, not what is there. So if I'm over here investing in editing every time, I think you all should too. In fact, it's my number one must when it comes to self-publishing. Everyone needs an editor. Do not skimp in this area. A bad book is a bad book. It won't get legs and run. If you want to give your seed of an idea the opportunity to thrive, make sure you invest in an editor, someone who does this for a living, not just your mom. Hi, mom, I love you. But no, invest in someone and build time for this. I can tell you from experience, you will want time for them to not just review the manuscript, but you to be able to work through their suggestions. I also believe you should invest in layout and formatting support. This is so often overlooked. Yes, Amazon will allow you to upload a Word document, cry myself a river over here, to print your book, but promise, I promise you, and I'm asking you to not do it, but I promise you that when you do, the quality will not be in alignment with your competition. The inside of your book is just as important as the content and its messaging. The layout is important, so important. So I want you to make sure, A, that you have all the right pieces of a manuscript. I'll never forget an author who messaged me and said, hey, I published my book, but I realized I never published it with page numbers or a copyright page. How do I fix this? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. All that stuff is fixable, but it's better to not have to fix it because now you have books that are out there that people have in their hands with missing pieces. That's not good. I also want you to make sure your book is industry standard. That is huge. This is a way for your book to not appear to be self-published and have that awful stigma that's not fair, right? Make sure it looks beautiful. And there are programs you can use to help with this, or you can invest in help, but do not think you can do this alone. Speaking of which, you also cannot do your own cover. And I pray that you don't opt for a cheaply designed one. Just because there are services out there where you can spend $20 to get a cover doesn't mean you should. Because if you are not a marketer, if you're not a publisher, if you are not in this industry, you will likely not be able to even dictate to a cover designer the type of cover that will sell a book. Do not try to navigate this alone. You need to know what will pull people to purchase your book. And I will tell you, a poorly designed cover is a massive roadblock to your book's success. You might have the best book out there, but if the cover is not in alignment, no one will read it. And finally, ensure that you do your research to know where to upload your manuscript, how to invest in support, and what type of printing solution that you want. This is a very nuanced industry, friends, and I don't want you to wish you hadn't done something and learn the hard way. So get some support and help there. So the answer to the how much question is it really depends. But I recommend earmarking several thousand to invest in quality support because your book and your seed of an idea deserves it. Today, while I celebrate being forever 21, and I laugh at that, I'm also celebrating bringing my fourth book to life. I never dreamed of publishing a book, one, much less four, and it's quite overwhelming to me. One of my traditions, though, is to sign the first copy that I get in the mail of my new book to myself. Today's message, I think, is really poignant to what I wrote on the inside of signing my new book, Emergence: Living Lessons from the Soil, and I thought I would share my signed message to you. Stephanie, growth and timing aren't always in your control. Never forget that your job isn't to plant your own seeds, it's to create the condition for God to do the planting. I'm proud of you, girl. Love your better half, ahem, as you. If you are looking for self-publishing support, we have a solution over here to help you create beautiful conditions for your seed of an idea. Visit empowerprgroup.com/self-publishing support to learn more. And it would honestly mean the world to me if you went and purchased a copy of my new book, Emergence: Living Lessons from the Soil. Whether you are a gardener of plants or a gardener of life, I promise this book is filled to the brim with fertilizer to help any seed you have flourish. It is currently available on Amazon. Author friends, thank you for listening today and for saying yes to becoming empowered. As you know, I really believe that empowered people empower people. I have empowered you. It is your turn. Go plant those seeds in other people and empower others.